Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Approaching retirement? The specifics of retirement differ for everyone, of course, but the broad goal is to have the financial freedom to live your life in comfort. It is increasingly important to have an executable plan that grows and protects your assets. If you have questions about your retirement that you'd like to ask directly to Steve or Justin, send them a note. Just click on Contact Steve or Justin on investtalk.com. Now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our August 5th Friday edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me, and we are trying to raise you above the ranks of the average investor. Now, being Friday, our premium newsletter comes out to our subscribers and our clients. We send it out every Friday, and I always try to go over some of the topics we talked about briefly. This week, a number of economic reports were being released, and of course today with the jobs report that dominated the stock market. And that was surprisingly strong at 255,000. No one expected that. The number that was expected was about 180,000, 190,000. And they even increased last month's okay, jobs. Now remember, if you remember, May's report was 11,000, really bad. Then a pretty strong report in June, 190,000 or so. And then this report at 255. So that kind of surprised everybody on the upside. Also talked about the ISM manufacturing, non-manufacturing reports, and some of the other reports that came out, construction report. The construction spending wasn't that good. It was kind of not so good this week, even though housing is still good. But we went over that. That's what the first section. And always in the portfolio management section, I talk about managing a portfolio, how to do it, try to give you some lessons. And today we talked about one of the biggest parts of investing that is least studied, and that is the economic trajectory. What direction is the market taking, and how do we figure out when it peaks, when it valleys, when it, you know, everybody talks about, you know, stocks and fundamentals and technicals, but the economy is pretty darn important. You know, you can best buy the best stocks in the world, but if the economy is going to sink, they're going down. And finally, I also talked about, you know, I always give a couple stock ideas every time. And in this week's Consumer Watch, I talked about where you can go for the weekend for fun. I mean, we're running out of summer. Got to go have some fun. There's lots of places all over the country. Now, I've been to many of them, but there's, you know, wherever you are in the United States, you can go and have a fun weekend, you know, long weekend trip. Anyway, don't just spend a lot of money. So that's what we talked about in the premium newsletter. It's only, you can get it, it comes out every Friday. You can buy it by paying $9.99 a month. It comes, and you go to investtalk.com to sign up. And if you're not happy, you can cancel it anytime you want. You don't have to pay a year in advance if you don't want to. So what's your money question? Maybe you're wondering about other good sources of information. I have some ideas for you if you want. Any questions about investing or managing money, anything about finances, anything about growing money, anything along that area, I'll be happy to talk about it. You can check in now on our 24-hour listen line. 888-99-CHART is the anytime number.
Hi, this is Jim from Indiana, podcast listener. Really appreciate the show. Question about gold miners. I know that you've been an advocate for a while of gold miners and gold investment just because of the way the market looks and what folks are doing to currency across the globe and how that has improved the outlook for gold long term, and that you tend to align yourself with the gold miners because it moves up at a rate about three times, I believe, is what you said, of regular gold investment. And I found this a little bit contrary to your perspective on leveraged ETFs, mainly because of the tracking error with leveraged ETFs. Is there similar tracking error or something that, you know, I should be watching out for if I did make an investment in something like GDX? Would love to hear your comments. Have a great day.
Okay, buying a gold mining company is not leveraging. Leveraging is when you buy something that moves up two or three times based on borrowing money or the way the instrument is designed. When we talk about gold miners moving up much faster than gold prices. It's the fact that they leverage the gold price in investors' minds so that, you know, if the gold goes up, the miners are much more valuable because what they mine is more valuable. But there's no leverage per se. You're just buying the gold miners. It just goes up faster than the actual price of the gold. Their stocks go up faster, and 2-3 times is normal, but they don't have to. It's not necessarily because it's not a leveraged instrument. It's not. Gold miners are leveraged to the price of gold only in the fact that investors move them up faster than the actual gold price. Not a leveraged instrument. I hope that's clear. I hope the difference there is clear. So don't think in those terms. You know, there are leveraged ETFs to the actual gold price. We're not talking about that. We're talking about gold miners who mine for gold. And when they mine for gold, they get the same amount of money as everybody else gets for gold. But investors bid them up faster than the price of gold. They also bid them down faster. So it's not always the same direction. Try to remember that. Let's go to Richard in Castro Valley. How you doing, Richard?
Hi, how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good.
I currently have a 20% of my total portfolio allocation. I tend to only do like major ETFs and not individual stocks. Mm-hmm. But I put a lot in VIX right now.
How are you doing that? Through an ETF? Through an ETF?
No, just buying the VIX options.
Okay, you're buying. Okay.
So I sold the put December, anywhere from 17 to 25. I've bought the coal at 27 to 32. All of them were acquired when the VIX is at 11.5 to 12.5. Mm-hmm. And I'm really thinking, just trying to get confirmation. I've seen the VIX go into 6 to 8 week lows where it hangs in this low area.
Yep.
And then, which puts us 4 weeks into that same, because the last time it happened was in early 2015.
Right.
And when it rebounds, it tends to rebound to like a 25 and often into the low 30s.
Yes.
Do you think it's a good time to overexpose yourself to VIX options?
I would say yes. You notice I paused there. The reason I paused there is because I'm worried that people who are not familiar with this kind of trading will just go crazy and put all their money in it. And the VIX can continue to go down. And for everybody else, the VIX is the fear gauge, everybody. And there's absolutely no fear right now. There's very little fear, let's put it that way. And Richard's talking about, since there's no fear, shouldn't I be adding more? Because fear is going to come sometime, and this thing is going to spike. And I'm telling him, yes, but it's a trade that most people may not be able to stick with, Richard. You know, because you're taking a risk. You're taking a big risk going the opposite direction as everybody else is thinking. But I kind of like it. But I'm worried about spreading it over the airways, and I kind of like it.
Okay. Got another one. ETF, SH.
Yes.
If it hits 37.5, should that be a buy?
Well, I own it. Let me put it that way. I own it, and I'm not going to sell it. But for everybody else, this is something that we also own it as a hedge, also, Richard, not just as a possible money-making thing, but also a hedge against the fall in the market. But we also own longs, and we're in the market, so don't think we're not. We are. But I do think, I'm not convinced that we are in a new bull leg in the market. I'm not. Okay?
Okay.
Appreciate it. Go ahead.
VTI, Vanguard Total Market Index. If that breaks the 113 level, would you think that that's
why don't we save that for another day? I really got to go. And I appreciate your call, Richard. Thank you very much. How much debt do you have? What is the max I can spend before I have to consult another person? These are questions you should ask your fiance before the ceremony. We'll talk more about that later in the hour. Let's talk about your money issues. My direct line is 888-99-CHARGE. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Cole in Michigan. How you doing, Cole?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Been listening to your show for about a year. I really, really enjoy it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. The question that I have, the actual ticker that if I'm going to ask you about is LDOS, but it's related to Lockheed Martin.
Okay.
I hold Lockheed Martin in my IRA. I'm about 12 years out from retirement, and I'm probably going to hold on to Lockheed at some position for a long, long time. But the IT services are being sold to a company, and the ticker was LDOS, and they're in the IT security information business.
Okay.
Which is a good sector. It's a good sector. I like the idea, but their numbers don't look very good. And I was wondering what you think. You know, should you take some of the Lockheed and they say a 10% discount, but it's not guaranteed when they do the sell-off. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a split. Is that what you're saying? Because they're going to sell part of Lockheed to Lador's Holdings, LDOS.
And so LDOS, that's correct.
Okay, so you're going to get certain amount of money per share. Is it you're going to get shares, or are you going to get shares in LDOS? They're going to give you money or shares?
I think it was just straight up shares.
Okay, so now you're going to own two companies, LDOS and Lockheed, and you're saying, so I own LDOS, Lador's Holdings. Well, let's take a look at see what they look like now, which is what you should do and what you've done. Provide scientific technological solutions primarily in the areas of national security, health, and engineering. It's a $3.5 billion company, so it's not nearly as big as Lockheed, but you know it's going to be bigger. They raised their earnings estimates, so they're going to make $3.13 next year. They have a pretty good amount of debt, and I wonder how much more debt they're going to take on because of buying, you know, the Lockheed part. I'd have to study that purchase and see if how much debt is that going to be. Their cash flow is pretty strong. Their debt is the issue that I would worry about. And they're not growing very fast, so obviously they're trying to grow by acquisition, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
Always in my history, I've never liked holding on to the spinoff because it's something that I didn't buy. So it's something I studied and bought. And I'd have to study what they're getting from Lockheed, but the company itself doesn't look too bad, but it's not that strong either. It's a company I would never buy standalone. I would not buy it. And if I would not buy it, why would I own it just because it's bought another company? So that's the deal. I got to look at the deal. How much debt you're putting yourself under, and is it that deal a great deal for Lador's? And I doubt Lockheed would sell something, you know, cheap. They just wouldn't. Yeah, they're going to get a good price for it. So I would say no in general about holding on to Lador's. Leodos, however they say it.
That's what I was kind of leaning towards, is just hold on to my Lockheed and take a pass on it.
I think I would. That would be my first gut reaction. It would be. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Cole. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Why do you need to understand your risk tolerance before you invest? Well, without coming to grips with what kind of risk you like and can comfortable with, how are you going to hold on to positions when they start to fall if you don't know how much risk you're willing to take? So you can use our free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com and find out. So we need to talk about the market. It was up pretty good today, up 191 points for the Dow, 55 points for the NASDAQ, and 19 points for the S&P, which drove them right up to their tops and broke up to a little new highs, I think, on the S&P and the Dow, maybe on the NASDAQ too. I'm not positive. I don't remember exactly. But I do know that they broke right up to it because the jobs report was so good today. So that's where we are now. You know, the market's been trading sideways for 2, 3, 4 weeks now, and then today we got a little bump. And the trading was so, the range was so narrow, it didn't take much for it to get up, back up to those highs. Won't take much for it to fall back down either. So that's what happened to the market today. What we want to talk about sometime today is how about, you know, key retirement concerns for women. And maybe, also, I want you to forget about the monthly jobs report. Watch something else instead. And I'm going to tell you what I need think you should watch. And did you see that the rig count for oil drilling was up 6 weeks in a row? 6 weeks in a row. What's that going to, what's that portend? What does that mean for oil, future oil prices? And yesterday I didn't get to it, but I do want to get to it today. And ways to increase your retirement savings or protecting your retirement savings. These are basic things you should know and do. And so those are issues I want to talk about. But first, let's talk about some of the concerns that women have for retirement. Other than different, a little different than men, by the way. And so they it's interesting because it might be, number one, they usually earn less money than men. Number two, they live longer than men. And they're more concerned about retirement. Women are better planners than men. So they are, their concerns start earlier in life as men's wait. Men just wait and wait too long most of the time. So the women need to start thinking about themselves in retirement, about their own personal retirement needs. But the issues that women have are more family oriented than men. Now, they worry about the family, and I don't have a problem. Actually, I think that's a good thing, a very good thing, versus men who don't think about this. But it is concerning me because many women rely on their men for retirement, for income, for all those things. And I'm very concerned that since they're going to outlive their men, that they're not paying enough attention. And that has borne out in many different studies. They need to pay more attention to what their men are doing if they're married and relying on him to bring in the money or plan for retirement because he doesn't do a very good job at it. So why don't you participate with your husband or your man, whoever it is, in retirement planning? Okay? Think about security in retirement. Think about making decisions related to long-term security for your retirement and discuss it with your spouse. For women, you know, if you're going to have children, historically, you are the primary caregiver, not the men. So be aware that's going to retard your retirement plans. Because you got 20 years of having to support this child. And, you know, if you have a man to help you, great. Or a partner help you, great. But make sure you plan still for your retirement. There's different things. There's an article on our website you can read, and it will give you some of the clues about this. Okay? Okay, let's take another text question. Hi, Steve. Enjoy the show. How do you feel about Murphy Oil, MUR, and oil prices in general in the coming months? Thanks. Of course, that was one of my talking points when I was going to talk about the rig count. But let's take a look at Murphy Oil. MUR is the symbol for Murphy Oil, in case you didn't know. And let's see. Let's type it in all my pieces of software here. MUR. Okay, I gauge in oil and natural gas for exploration and production in U.S., Canada, Malaysia, and other international locations. Their sales have been falling steadily for almost 2 years and falling pretty hard. I mean, 2 years ago, it was $1.4 billion a quarter, and this most recent quarter, $437 million. from $1.4 billion to $437 million. So that tells you how hard hit earnings, sales have been hit. And, of course, earnings are reflecting that. They lost $3 in 2015. They're going to lose $1.26 per share this year. And then next year, they're finally going to make some money, 17 cents. For me, it's still too expensive. It's too expensive. At a $27.82 share price, it's too expensive. The company is still very solid, $4.8 billion company. Management owns a good chunk of it, 6%. And debt is not too high. Good dividend at 5%. So it's a good, solid company. But for me, it's still too expensive. Oil prices were peaked around $50, fell down to like 40, a little bit less than 40. And this week, right now, they're at $42 a share. So oil prices, you know, have fallen. Now the question is, will they rise again? So we're going to talk about the rig count. That might give us a hint. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. Get through right now if you like. I have a new date this month to meet Skype and telephone investors or clients, prospective clients. And that's August 10th. To get on the calendar, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. Then portfolio review.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Did you know that you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? Also, you can click back to listings for the last 5 Invest Talks, each listing the topics and stocks discussed too. Just go to investtalk.com. We continue now with this Friday, August 5th, Invest Talk. 41% of investors reported that they believe having their net worth in a single mutual fund is sufficient diversification. Maybe you just think your portfolio is diversified. That's next time. What's your talking point right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us from anywhere in the U.S.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I am good. I appreciate your call.
Great. I just wanted to ask you, I'm thinking about getting some Agrium. Mm-hmm. AGU, and I wanted to pick it up right around like low 80. Mm-hmm. Do you think the fertilizer business is going to pick up anytime soon?
I actually like this area, and we own a stock in this area, but not this one, Art. Agrium is manufactures, markets nitrogen, potash, and ammonia sulfate, phosphate-based fertilizers. That's what it does. Okay, and it's not a small company. It's a $12 billion company, so it's huge. They make money. Have never not made money for years and years. They're going to make $5.38 this year, and then $6.18 next year. Now, the reason why the stock was under pressure, because it made $7 per share last year, 2015, and now only $5.38. Yeah. So the stock was under pressure, and I think your thinking is correct, Art. The buying in the low 80s would be ideal. That's where you want to buy it, because that's where it finds lots of support.
Yeah, because I just happened to read something the other day where they said that the nitrate prices are dropping quite a bit or something. And I think that had an effect on the last few days.
Yeah.
I just wondered
there was an oversupply of those kinds of products, but one of the largest producers apparently is having a lot of financial difficulties. And one of the largest producers is not here in the United States. It's one of the ones, a foreign producer, so... And I understand that their supply is going to start shriveling because of their financial difficulty. So I'm hoping that will be supportive of these stocks, of these kinds of stocks.
Do you think that this year?
I think it could. I think it has bottomed. Let me put it that way. It bottomed in January, February, March. Tested that bottom April, May. So I think from here on out, you're going to have higher highs and higher lows. Let me put it that way. It may retest those low 80s, but that would be an ideal spot to buy it if it does. Art, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART, everybody. You know, we had that jobs report. Came out, very strong jobs report today. But I'm going to ask you to stop paying so much attention. The market pays close attention to it. And for today, the next couple of days, people are going to be all excited about it. The market's up. But if you really want to know how healthy the job market is, and you are looking forward instead of backward, because the jobs report that comes out every month is a backward-looking indicator. It's a lagging indicator. If you want to look at a leading indicator that talks about or gives you some kind of hint about the job market, you look at the weekly unemployment claims. Unemployment claims. And that unemployment claims has been below 300,000 claims for 74 weeks in a row and has never done that since all the way back to 1973. It's never been this low for this long, even before the most recent deep recession. You have to go all the way back to 73. You probably don't remember back there, but I do. I was just coming out of college back there. I was in college in 73, but it was the Great Recession back then. The 73, 74 recession, 75. And back before that recession, you had very low unemployment claims, just like we have now. Now, remember, your job is to look forward, not look backward. And your job is say, okay, everything looks hunky-dory right now. If you think everything looks hunky-dory, that's okay. That's perfectly fine. But how long does the hunky-dory economy continue? And that's really why you want to look at your unemployment claims. You're looking for it to start pumping up above 300,000. If it starts doing that, whenever that happens, then you got to say to yourself, maybe we're starting to see a little turn down in the economy. That's one of your leading economic indicators you want to watch. Weekly unemployment claims. And you want to see it get, you know, once if it get, what you're looking for is if it goes above 300,000 and starts hanging above that number and continue to rise, that bodes ill for the market, for the economy, and eventually for the market. Remember, the market will react before you see the economy shrink. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Steve. I was wondering if you can give me an opinion on potash, P-O-T, the symbol.
Sure, I can. Did you just hear me talk about Agrium just before?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, potash is the one I hinted at that we own, but I cannot tell people on air what we own, but I can answer questions about stocks and admit that we own them if they ask the question. And potash is the one I was kind of referring to that we own, as opposed to Agrium. Manufactured fertilizers, related industrial feed products in the U.S., Canada, and Trinidad. It's a $13 billion company. And they have the same or have had the same problem as Agrium, oversupply. But the company is going to make 54 cents this year and then 76 cents next year. But again, just like Agrium, it made a lot more money last year, $1.52. So there's a lot of pressure. And of course, this company fell from $34 all the way down to $14, and now it's at $16. Well, not quite $14. Never got down to $14. But I think, yeah, it's right near the low. It got down to like $15. And now it's at $16. It had a good up day today. And this is one that we own, and I like it because it's got a great value and pays a pretty decent dividend, and it doesn't have a lot of debt, and it's going to continue to pay that dividend. So I like it. You know, I can be patient with it, Mike. So I like potash. I like potash better than Agrium. POT is the symbol.
At what price would you recommend to purchase it? Because I haven't bought it yet. I'm thinking about it.
I'd buy it now. I would.
Okay.
And what your out would be, if it drops below the January lows, that's when you get out. You say, okay, I guess it's still going down, you know. But it has been going up and down in a range now, and it's at the lower end of that range. So this is where I would buy it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mike, appreciate the call. That's potash, P-O-T, P-O-T. 888-99-CHARP. When I meet with our listeners for our individual retirement reviews, which I just did this week in San Jose, it's really kind of a discussion, a learning process for both of us. I learn a little about you, and you learn about what I do and me and what I think about your situation. And, you know, I let you tell me what you think, and I like to know where you are in your financial life and where you want to go. So we cover a lot of ground in that area, that 1 hour. And I try to make real good use of the time. I'll be in San Ramon on August 30th and San Jose on August 31st. As you can tell, I'm up there quite often. To join me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
Why not join our Invest Talk Insiders? One of the many easy-to-read info sheets is all about managing a bond portfolio. Important information in this low interest rate environment. These are quick read 1 and 2 pagers on popular money topics available to InvestTalk insiders, and is free to join. Go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
888-99-CHART. Let's go to Al in Pleasanton. How you doing, Al?
Hey, I'm doing good, Steve. How about you?
Good. I appreciate the call.
Hey, I just noticed what happened today with Bristol Myers, and I'm wondering if this might be an opportunity to pick it up now.
I think it is. And for everybody else out there, it got crushed today, down 16%. BMY is the symbol. Bristol Myers Squibb develops branded pharmaceuticals for the treatment of cardiovascular, virological, and other infectious disease. And the reason why it got crushed today is because of a drug in phase 3 trials that failed. About lung cancer. So it got crushed. But Bristol Myers is a $105 billion company, Al. They're not, you know, this is gonna be a bump in the road for them. Okay? And so I'm not too concerned about the company. The company is not the issue. So now this big 15%, 16% drop looks like an opportunity. The question is it finished dropping? So Al, I think you need to give it a little bit of time. Now, it could bounce Monday. I mean, it could. But I would like to see some strength come back into it before I buy it, because it's like trying to catch a falling knife. You know, you don't want to cut your hand as it's falling. Wait till it hits the ground. And so I'm not sure it's hit the ground yet, so I want to see that happen. I think it has, by the way, but I'm not positive about that. So.
All right. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Al. BMY looks like an opportunity developing to me. Now, it broke down below all the averages, and it has a lot of support in the high 50s, low 60s, and it's at 63. So it looks like a place where it should settle down. Let's go to Dan in San Diego. How you doing, Dan?
Real good, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you for the call.
Hey, I'm looking to diversify a little bit, and I was looking at Prudential Life Insurance. I need a financial investment.
Okay.
What do you think about Prudential now?
Prudential Life Insurance, it's big, $33 billion, big cap company, offers life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, retirement products in the United States, Europe, Asia, and Latin America. As far as a big blue chip company, this is a good solid one to think about. Okay, it pays 3.7% dividend, and that's going to be pretty secure. It's a $76 stock. It's going to make $10.31 next year. That means it's fairly low price, and it'll be near the low of its 5-year range PE. So I kind of like it. I kind of like it right here. It's finding lots of support at the moving averages, you know, the 50, 200-day moving averages, and it bounced right off it today. I kind of like the play, even though sales are falling a little bit. But, I kind of like the play. I think it will work. They don't have a lot of debt. Good, solid company. So
yeah, she's been holding around 70-75 for a couple weeks now. So
Yep. So that tells you that this is a pretty – the only way that this company will get in trouble is when we have the next recession. That would be a great time to pick up some more. Okay? But it's a big blue chip company. It's a good core holding in your portfolio, Dan.
Okay? Thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate the call. Now, these core holdings that I just talked to Dan about, the core holdings is just that. It's a company that's not going to be real exciting. It's not. And, of course, it could get hurt. It got really hurt in the financial crisis. It went down to, like, 10. Okay? But, you know, in a normal environment, it's a good, solid company. Should have bought more at 10, huh? Too bad. Most people couldn't buy because they just felt too panicky. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. The rig count. Talk about oil earlier. The rig count has got rig, meaning drilling for new oil, has gone up 6 weeks in a row. 6 weeks in a row. Because oil was recovering. Remember, it got as low as high 20s, 28, 29. Then moved up to 50 bucks. And then started falling recently in the last few weeks. Down to 40. I thought it might get into the 30s. It still could. And then this week, it rebounded to 42. So because of that move up, it attracted oil drillers. So I would not, this, you know what this tells me? It tells me it's a healthy economic environment. Because what you'll get is a rig count gone up, they'll start drilling, we'll get more supply, and the oil prices will go back down. Then the rig count will shrink a little bit, and the supply will shrink, and the prices will go back up. And that's how economics works, supply and demand. That's how it's supposed to work. You know, not where the government gets involved and drives interest rates so low that is not normal. And, you know, governments in Europe and Japan where they drive interest rates to negative territory, and that is so abnormal that you interfere with a normal economic environment. And you don't know what kind of result you're going to get. In a normal economic environment, no one would buy bonds and have to pay for the privilege to buy the bonds, to give your money to somebody else and pay them so you can give it to them. It makes no sense. So no one knows what's going to... We had a very odd situation going around the world here. But in a normal market, what you see in this oil market is that, well, supply and demand kicks in. Okay, so if prices go up, then supply will go up. And then with too much supply, prices come back down. That's a normal economic environment in a free economic cycle, and it's very healthy. You're supposed to have that to happen. Anyway, so I don't expect oil prices to go up. I expect them to stay pretty timid for a long time. Let's go to Al in San Jose. How you doing, Al?
Al, hi, you there? Steve. I'm doing well.
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yes, I'm here. Hi. Hey. I'm interested in Kohl's.
Okay.
Ticker is KSS. Okay. I've been watching it. The 200-day trend is starting to flatten out, and I was wondering if it's a good time to jump in.
Okay. Al, I need to take a real quick break here, but I'll pick it up right after that. If you want to listen in, I'll be happy to talk to you, you know, let you know what I think about coal. You can still get through with your questions. We still have time. 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T is our number, our anytime number. Or you can send me a note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. Chart 888-992-4278. Al, you're still there? We talk about Kohl's?
Yep, still
thank
there.
You. Great, thanks. Kohl's Corporation, everybody. They operate 1,164 family-oriented specialty department stores in 49 states. It offers apparel, footwear, accessories. And I'll be honest, Al, I'm not big on the department store area because I think the internet is killing them, okay? The internet is. That doesn't mean Kohl's is not going to be successful because they do have a special kind of niche in the department store areas. And this company is really inexpensive right now as far as the P.E. ratio. It's right at 10. They're going to make $3.97 next year. It's a $39 stock. So it's pretty inexpensive. They have a pretty good yield, dividend yield of 5%. And they have a pretty good return on equity. I mean, all the numbers look pretty good, Al. So I can't complain about that. And I think this is a good price to pick it up. It's just that I'm not keen on the department store area. And it's a good time to pick up these stores because you got the holidays coming. Back to school and holidays. So I'll give you a tentative thumbs up on this one, okay, Al?
Okay, thank
you. And appreciate the call. And the only reason, everybody, for my tentative is because I know that the internet is really hurting Amazon.com, hurting department stores. I don't think they're going to disappear, but I think that's one of the reasons why their P.E. ratios and Kohl's P.E. ratios are very low, because of that kind of pressure. Anyways, let's go to Robbie in Santa Clara. How you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. This is Mahidar. This is regarding the stock VGPMX, Vanguard Special Metals Index.
Yes.
Stock symbol, VGPMX.
Got it. Okay, so...
I will listen on the radio. Thank you.
Okay. Well, if you're talking about, this is the Vanguard Precious Metal Mining Index, and so obviously it's gone from a low of like $5.50 to $12, okay, in a very short time, since, what, 3, 4, 5 months now? And it's all about gold and all about, remember I told you, now think about where this has gone from $5.50 to a little over $12. It's $12.56 now. That's more than double, right? More than double. 1.5 times. Has gold more than doubled? Remember at the beginning of the show I talked to you and mentioned, we talked about gold and the leveraging of the gold price by buying gold mining companies. There's no leverage involved other than traders and investors move up gold mining stocks much faster than the gold prices go up. That's it. But there's no true leverage. There's no borrowed money that'll make that happen. It's just it's a normal response when gold goes up. Now the question you have to ask yourself in this particular stock, is gold going to continue to go up? Gold goes up when the dollar goes down. Is the dollar going to continue to go down with the strong jobs report we've had? That is very supportive of the dollar, is it? Isn't it? Gold also goes up when inflation goes up. Are we going to start seeing inflation? Gold also goes up when there's a lot of fear. Is there a lot of fear out there? Fear not just in the market, but I'm talking about fear in general, in the world, war, terrorism, that kind of stuff. Those are the reasons that gold could go up. So what do you think? So that's what you're betting. And this is just a bet on precious metal on whether gold will go up. We own a number of gold positions in our managed accounts in our dynamic growth program, and they've done very, very well. So we'll see. If you're going to ask me the question, is gold going to go up? I think that you're probably going to see it continue to rise, but not nearly as well as it has in recent months. Okay, ways to increase your retirement savings. Don't believe the media about market-beating securities. Don't believe them. Do your own homework. Don't listen to the ads. Understand the damage to your portfolio, especially your retirement portfolio. Inflation can do, even low inflation. And try to use all the government tax savings investments you can, 401ks, IRAs. You need to do that if you want to increase and protect your retirement accounts. Our time is up. A reminder, if you have a question about any money topic from 401k rollovers to real estate, you can contact me directly. Just click on Contact Steve at InvestOn.com. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's do it again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.